I'd like to thank each and every devotee who spoke this afternoon at this ceremony. I was truly touched by every devotee's words. From the little children up to the GBC. I was actually amazed the children, their offerings were not only so poetic, but so deeply realized in Krishna consciousness. I was thinking, who are these children? We think of them as children, but actually they're just devotees like ourselves who find themselves in little bodies at the moment, but are beginning to express their deeper sense of Krishna consciousness. And I have to thank my godbrothers, Srila Shivaram Maharaj and Govinda Maharaj and Chandramali Maharaj for speaking like they did, offering me their friendship. We really need these very close, loving relationships in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the conditioned soul will go back to the old relationships. You have to have a loving relationship. So if we don't have it with sadhus, then fortunately we've seen devotees go back. So it's important to have these deep, loving friendships in Krishna consciousness. And so many nice things, so many exalted things were stated. And while I was hearing it, I was remembering a phrase from one of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. He was writing about his guru. And we all know the phrase, he said, "Your mercy is all that I am made of." A devotee and a disciple in particular should never take credit for anything he or she has done. Whatever we do, it's all by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. A few moments ago, we were fallen in the material existence, and by the grace of Guru, we've been rescued, and he's using us as an instrument. We're just the instrument in the hands of our Guru Maharaj and the disciplic succession. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Therefore, if we do something and it's considered wonderful by the devotee community, we should immediately give credit where credit is due, and that's to our spiritual master. He just used us as an instrument to fulfill his will. If we forget that and we take credit, we're in trouble. Once there was a king, he was giving audience to his subjects. There were thousands of them praising him. And he's the king. He has to take the praise of his subjects. That's his duty. That's their duty, to show themselves loyal to the king. Vive le roi! Long live the king!
This is a
So one mosquito came buzzing in. He saw the knee of the king was exposed. So the mosquito's thinking, this is a good dinner. So the mosquitoes, and he lands on the knee of the king, and he looks out, and there's everyone, Viva le roi! May you live long! All glories to you! And the stupid bug, he thinks, oh, they're glorifying me. So he's taking all those praise. Yes, yes, more, more, come, yes, come. And he gets so excited that his stinger goes into the knee of the king. And the king is lecturing and he feels this itching. And mosquito kaputski. So we don't want to be like the mosquito, thinking that the praise is directed to us. It's directed to our spiritual master. He's the one that worked through us. And we were just fortunate to be able to do some seva for him. Whatever it is, sweep the floor, be a guru. It's all on his order, and it's accomplished by his mercy. I remember one time being there when Prabhupada was praised. It was in Paris, I think, and someone said something. Prabhupada just, he blushed. In a spirit of true humility, he blushed, and he looked down, he said, no. It is all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Paribhutchakacharya, Sri Srimad, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur. I was thinking how much love my spiritual master has for his guru. That's what I was left with. So punamushtika bhav. We know the story that if we take the credit, then we become a mouse. So maybe some of the things you were saying, they can be attributed to me, but you know, I did them the full strength, that whatever I did was really nothing. It's all by Prabhupada's mercy. And therefore when I leave the ceremony, then I go to the kirtan in the temple room and they sing Jai Prabhupada. I have more faith, yes, Jai Prabhupada, that he could take even someone like me and do something. This is Prabhupada's mercy. And I was thinking, when they were speaking, I said, I think they've got the wrong person. This is a case of mistaken identity here. At best, I was thinking, I'd like to be that person they're describing. Because if I was that kind of devotee, I know that my guru would be happy with me. And I've learned through so many years of Krishna consciousness, especially now I'm on the last stretch. I'm 60, I'm on the last stretch. I've learned that really all I want to do is just please my spiritual master. Nothing else makes any sense. Nothing else is of any relevance or importance to me at this last stage of my life. I've experimented with so many things, so many desires in this world, it was all useless. It was all, I was cheated by the material energy. The only real experience I had was the love of my spiritual master. And I owe him so much. With my limited brain, I can hardly begin to perceive the fathomless gifts, precious Krishna conscious gifts that he has bestowed upon me. So with what's left of my life, I just want to give it all to him and hope that something I do in this life will please him. He'll be happy. And if he's happy, then my life is successful. I know what's pleasing to Śrīla Prabhupāda. It makes it very clear in his books. He's pleased when we distribute the books. He's pleased when we develop farming communities, we build temples, we have schools, we defeat the scientists. And he's also pleased when we make internal advancement in Krishna consciousness. Actually, the spiritual master, he's desiring both these things, that his disciple will assist him in the mission, and in so doing he'll become purified and become an ecstatic lover of God. We often stress the external progress of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's there. It will always be there. This is a missionary movement. But the spiritual master also has a very burning desire that each and every one of his disciples, his family members, so to speak, go back home, back to Godhead. The Śrīla Prabhupāda was so much stressing to spreading the Krishna consciousness movement didn't mean that he wasn't concerned that each and every one of his disciples became a pure devotee of Krishna and went back to Godhead. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said, this preaching, it will do good for you and it will do good for the people. And participating in some sort of preaching activity is the best means to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And thus make advancement towards that pristine goal of pure devotional service. So it's not easy to make genuine advancement in Krishna consciousness. Brahma Samhita, there's a verse in the Brahma Samhita that says we make advancement in small increments, little eensy weensy beensy teensy little steps. Okay, they're small, but the nature of those steps, Krishna says in the Gita, whatever advancement you make, you never lose. Don't get discouraged. You're making little advancement every year. That's all right. It's better to be going slow in the right direction than to be running in the wrong direction. So to make advancement in this world, it's not very easy. Even God says that. Don't get discouraged. Daivyesha gunamai mama maya dharatyaya. He says, this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of nature, it's very difficult to overcome. But they told me I just had to eat halava and chant and dance and yeah, that was a trick to get you to join them. Here's what the book says. But then Krishna says, but one who surrenders to me easily overcomes it. And that surrender begins by accepting a spiritual master. The job of the spiritual master is to make sure that each and every one of his disciples is making progress towards that ultimate goal. He has to keep watching. So where is it? And to make sure that we are advancing, he keeps raising the bar a little higher each time. He keeps giving us challenges in Krishna consciousness so that we come to a higher standard. When Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur was here, we'd have his disciples build a temple. They'd collect the funds, they'd go to the architect, they'd design it, they'd build it, and they'd be exhausted the day it was opened. And the next day they would have Istagosti, and Bhaktisananda Saraswati would start a new project. And Prabhupada was like that too. Maharaj will confirm that he was always pushing us for new projects, and he, as far as preaching, he'd always ask us to double it and then double it and double it. It was like, whoa. But we were young, we could do it. This is devotional service. Prabhupada said, you should note that Mother Yashoda is working very hard. She's working so hard for Krishna that there's perspiration on her forehead. And you're fortunate that Sivaram Swami has the same spirit here in Hungary. Every time I come, there's a new project. So that's externally. Internally also, spiritual master is always inquiring. So, are you chanting your 16 rounds? Yeah. You're chanting, but are you chanting with quality? No. Chant, and chant with quality. Don't fall prey to temptation. Stick carefully to the four rules and regulations. Are you studying Srila Prabhupada's books? Oh, I don't have time. Then how you have the ammunition to fight the illusion of Kali Yuga? So, spiritual master is pushing us back to Godhead through our conditioning, and even when we become liberated. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anartha niriti syat. That he's pushing us to the condition stage. And even when we get liberated, he's pushing us to higher and higher realms of devotional service. Tato nishta richishtata ashaktis tato bhava tata prema yudhanchati. He's always pushing us higher and higher. That's why we need a spiritual master. When I was young, we were a freshman in high school, and my father asked me, I had to choose a sport to join a sport so I'd stay out of trouble. I wasn't always good, I was sometimes bad. So I had a good friend, John Ferguson, next door, and we got together and we were talking like, okay, so what sport should we choose? And we had a few ideas, and one sport we chose was pole vaulting. You know? Pole vaulting. You have this long pole and you run and then you swoosh over the bar onto the mat. Do you do that here? Not here, but do they do that? You have Kamyavan, Varshan, and Nandagram, and pole vaulting. Hare Krishna. So, you know, we're just kids. We didn't know how to do it, so we had the bar like that, you know, low, and then we'd practice, and then we did it, and then we thought we couldn't do any higher, and my father would come out, he'd put the pole higher, and then we had to run. Oh, finally, after weeks of practicing, we'd get over it. My father would come out, okay. And then we'd have to run, and then... So finally we became champions, regional champions in pole vaulting. Don't clap. So eventually we're champions, but only because my father, who was like my coach in life, right, he would always put a little bit higher, and it was so hard, but we did it. So spiritual master is like teacher, he's like friend, he's like coach, and he's always encouraging us. Build the projects more and more externally. Internally, go deeper and give up your material attachments. Take hold of the lotus feet of Krishna. He's like our coach. And sometimes a neotite devotee, he becomes exasperated. Oh, is it possible? But I heard Prabhupada say one time, and I've repeated it to you before, but it's a very important statement. Never think that any instruction, your spiritual master, be he your Diksha, your Shiksha Guru, we have many Shiksha Gurus, never think that the instruction they give you is too difficult to accomplish. Externally you can do miraculous things, and internally you can also conquer over lust, anger and greed and awaken your prema for Krishna in one lifetime. It's possible. Prabhupada said, along with the instruction of the guru comes the ability to execute it. It's the mystic nature of devotional service. It's just something mystical. Krishna's always there to help you. You know that story of the boy who was leaving the Gurukul. He was scared to go out of the big bad world. So before he left the school, he went to the temple. Lord, I'm leaving the Gurukul, I'm going into the world. I'm going to get married, have a family, have a career, my social responsibilities, so many, I'm a little scared. He was a special boy, so the deity spoke to him. Lord said, no, wherever you go, I'll be there. What? You'll be there. How will I know you're there? And Lord said, wherever you go, you'll see my footprints in the sand. And then the deity fell silent. So the boy turned around, he ran outside. Wherever he would run in the sand, he'd see this other footprints appear. He'd go left, he'd go right, he'd go over the hill. So, wow. No one else could see it. It was a special benediction of the Lord. I'll always be with you. Wherever he would go, he'd walk. But as he grew up, one peculiar thing happened. That whenever he went through any extreme difficulty, any tragedy, there'd only be one set of footprints. Before there was his and the Lord's. But whenever there was any tragedy, there was only one set of footprints. I was thinking, Lord has abandoned me in my time of difficulty. He got through it. He became a good devotee and he went back to the spiritual world. When he got there, God met him. And they embraced. So the boy said, God, I have one question. When I was a little boy on the earth, leaving the school, you promised me that you'd always be there and I would see your set of footprints in the sand along next to mine. Strangest thing happened that whenever there was a tragedy, I'd only see my footprints, I wouldn't see yours. Where were you when I needed you the most? And Lord said, no, you've got it wrong. When you were going through some difficult times, those weren't your footprints, those were my footprints. I put you up on my shoulders and I carried you through the difficult times. I was always there for you, like I promised. So we should have faith. The Lord is always there. Personally, as a spiritual master, or the community of Vaishnavas. They're all his representatives. He says, for my devotee, I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. And he'll always carry us across the ocean of material existence. And he'll give you the necessary qualities to do so. We should want to make advancement. Not so that we'll become known as a famous devotee. That's dangerous. It's called pratishtha, or the desire for fame. We should want to advance so that we can be the instrument in the hands of the spiritual master. Because Prabhupada has a lot of plans for this world. And we've just begun to realize his dream for planet Earth. Like I said, temples, books in every home, gurukuls, farms, cow protection. We need to become pure. We saw what one pure devotee did. What imagine if his children, his sons and daughters, also become pure. Then you'll have a spiritual revolution within society. So I find this day very encouraging because I see that my disciples are becoming pure. Yes? Otherwise, how could you speak with so much realization? I was thinking, oh, I'd like to speak like that too, I was thinking. You know, I'm a writer, so I was thinking, hearing Chintamani and Vaishnavi speak, I think, oh, I'd like to have that ability of poetry. I'm not a poet, I can write. I'm thinking, these little girls are good poets. I want to be like that. Because Prabhupada told us in London one time, he said, you can really understand the quality of a Vaishnava when they speak. Or when they write. That's when you see their inner depth of Krishna consciousness that comes out, their realizations come out in the spoken word. There wasn't one offering today that was not deeply realized and spoken from the heart. At my age now, you know, 60, that's old. 60. It's really old. And as we get to this autumn, and I'm sure my godbrothers all sometimes wonder what will happen when we leave. Then I hear these offerings, I'm thinking, oh, the movement's in good hands. Yeah. And I'm thinking that Prabhupada must be pleased with my service because my disciples are making some spiritual progress. So thank you for helping me bring this pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. I'd also like to say that this is one of my favorite days of the whole year. I look forward to this day. I got here last night at 12:30. I went to bed at 1:30. I was so excited. It was like Christmas morning. I couldn't sleep. I got up at 3:30. I only slept 2 hours last night. I was so excited because this is one of my favorite days. So our critics, yes, just see, now he's revealing the truth. He actually likes all this glorification. We knew it. ISKCON's critics, yes, these gurus, they just want the money and the fame and the... No, but it's one of my favorite days because on this day we experience, all of us experience so much deep spiritual love. In our exchanges. I mean, we're serving Prabhupada together as master and disciple all throughout the year. But the purification comes, you get to express the purification, the love, which is the goal, at the Vyasa Puja. It's so deep and so satisfying, loving relationships. When you get right down to it, the essence of everything is love. I've learned that. If I've learned anything in Krishna consciousness in my old age, the most important thing is love. Everyone is looking to give love and to be loved. I often say in my classes that, you know, if you have everything but you don't have love, you're going to be miserable. But if you have nothing, even from a material point of view, and you have some loving relationships, you can be a little happy in this world. But if you're one of those few very precious souls that have been touched by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, and you've experienced real love, Krishna consciousness, you can be the happiest person on the earth, rich or poor. And this movement is all about love. Loving Krishna and loving all of Krishna's parts and parcels. You can only find love in Krishna consciousness because it's selfless. Material relationships, you know, parents and children and friends and lovers, that's not real love. I love you because you can satisfy my senses better than anyone else. This is love. I hate to say it. No, I don't hate to say it. I'm a sadhu. Sadhu means one who speaks the truth. This is the nature of material friendship. We're friends because we like the same clothes. We're friends because we like the same music. We're friends because we like the same sports, because we go to the same school. Right? Different groups. But what type of friend, sense gratification of any kind, what does it result in? The Bhagavatam says, because of uncontrolled senses, people are gradually gliding down towards hellish conditions of life. There's a bumper sticker in America. It says, real friends don't let their friends eat meat. A real friend is someone who just grabs your hand and says, hey, we're going to go to the Hare Krishna temple. No, I don't want to go to that place. That's a cult. Listen, we're going to the temple. No, I don't want to go. That's a real friend. The pastime was Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, didn't want to go see Bhakti Sananda Saraswati. He told his friend, I've seen so many sadhus. My dad had so many sadhus coming to the house. I know what these sadhus are. Just eat, 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 big fat belly sleeping. But Prabhupada said he literally dragged me to the meeting of my Guru Maharaj. And when they left the meeting, the famous first meeting, his friend turned to Prabhupada and he said, so what do you think? And Prabhupada said, I think I met a genuine sadhu. He said, I think I met my spiritual master. He said, I knew he was my spiritual master from the moment I heard him speak. Because the spiritual master, by speaking, he destroys the doubts, the illusions of the disciple, and opens the door for liberation, for Krishna consciousness. This is a mystic process. You hear something again and again and again, and okay, but then you hear your spiritual master say it, and then, oh, now I understand. One of my disciples, very nice girl, she tragically lost her daughter. Her daughter became ill and died, a six-year-old girl, beautiful little girl. And this disciple of mine, she was just devastated, and nothing anyone could do could resolve. Of course, the pain is there naturally, but after a year I saw her and I preached to her, and she said, Gurudev, somehow by your speaking, a knife has been taken out of my heart, and I'm peaceful, I understand with knowledge what has happened, and I'll do my best to go on. She said, now you understand what is a spiritual master. This is the arrangement of the Lord. So we all have to take shelter. So we exchange these loving relationships that are very deep, not superficial like material relationships. The relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is the dawning of our love for Krishna. Just like the light precedes the light of dawn precedes the rising of the sun. So our loving sentiments, we begin to understand what is real love in the association of the devotees and our spiritual master, and that matures eventually into love. To love for the most lovable person, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's so nice to hear your loving sentiments, and I also want to say to you how much I love all of you as well. I just love being a devotee and being part of this great international society for Krishna consciousness. It's so nice. I can't imagine what's waiting us in the spiritual world. But on days like this, I get a little glimpse of what it's going to be like. One time after a kirtan, a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that was ecstasy! Prabhupada said, you don't know what is ecstasy. But if this is only the dawning of love, our relationships together serving Prabhupada and Krishna. Imagine when we get free of all our material desires and our selfish motivations and we serve purely Prabhupada and Krishna in the spiritual world. How nice that's going to be. So I love this day because it shows me that the process works.
Some years ago, one critic, he came to me, he said, "You're still in this movement?" I said, "Yeah, where else should I be?" He says, "This ISKCON, it's not ISKCON, it's was gone." Was gone. I went, "Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu!" They hear the offense. You know, he's criticizing. I don't know. If only that person could see days like this where we all come together and purified by our service, we have such deep loving sentiments for each other on a transcendental level. What more proof does anyone need? Of course, we worked very hard externally and internally to come to this stage. But it's real. I do have to say, though, I'm not completely satisfied. Just like in my country, America, President Barack Obama, after 100 days in office, he gave a speech to the nation. Famous now. He said, "I'm very happy with the progress we've made in the last 100 days, my first 100 days in office, but I'm not content." "So I'm very happy with your progress, my disciples' progress in Krishna consciousness, but I'm not content." Why? Because there's so many people out there who don't know anything about these loving exchanges in Krishna consciousness. There's so many people suffering in this country of Hungary and throughout Eastern Europe and all over the world for want of any Krishna consciousness. And a Vaishnava can't be happy enjoying the process himself when there are others bereft of Krishna consciousness. He just can't be fully happy. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he'd have kirtan at night at Shiva Sangam with all his devotees. He'd be chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and dancing and swirling and turning and crying. And one day Mahaprabhu said, "Out! Out of this house! What? Go out and preach his divine command all over Navadvip, all over Bengal, all over Orissa, all over the world. Take the kirtan from the temple and go out and share it with others." "Yes, sir." Hari Haraya Namah Krishna. He started the Sankirtan movement.
Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave one nice example. He said he would not be happy until all the 14 worlds were chanting Hare Krishna. So part of our advancement, a genuine sign of our advancement, is compassion. That's how Food for Life started. A famous Food for Life program all over the world. Prabhupada noticed some children, devotees taking prasadam, and Prabhupada noticed some beggar children, very hungry children who weren't eating. And Prabhupada saw them and were told that he actually began to tear, he began to cry, seeing these people without prasadam. So he made that famous statement, "No one within a 10-mile radius of an ISKCON temple should go hungry." he felt their suffering. But you have to be a little advanced to be compassionate, because the opposite of compassion is envy. Envy means that if you have some material desires in your heart and you see someone who's so-called happy with the things that you want, you'll be envious of them. But if you come to the stage where you don't no longer have any material desires, and your heart is purified, then you'll and you don't envy anyone. You've realized the futility of material life, and you're enjoying Krishna consciousness. You'll feel a sense of compassion for people. Like we always quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest, and with a lowly heart I'll go out to preach the divine command. Of course, here you're very fortunate, because that desire is beating very strongly in the heart of your leadership. Śrīla Śrīla Rāma Swāmī Maharāj, ki. So you may not have the desire, but your leader has it, therefore you have to do. But better if you also had that sense of urgency in your heart to not be peaceful until all the people of this country are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In this age, it's not enough to become a devotee to go back to Godhead. You have to drag as many people back with you as possible. When you get to the pearly gates, St. Peter's going to be there. And he's going to say, you're going to knock on the door. I want to get out as well. I want to come in. So how many people did you bring with you? Nobody. Go back and get a few people, then I'll let you in. You have to show up at the pearly gates with 10,000 people. You've got them all dragging behind you. How many do you have? 10,000. All right, you can come. I'm speaking in a humorous way, but actually that's Shastra. That's according to Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandamrita. Yatha yatha gora padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punyarasi tata toto sarpatri hityaktashmad vada padam bhoja sumandarashi. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for the service of Radharani's lotus feet in Vrindavan. So, you're at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. You're working under good direction here, but get that heartbeat that sense of compassion going on in your heart as well, and deliver as many people as you can in your lifetime. That's the sense of urgency that Srila Sivaram Swami Maharaj was saying that the first generation got from Prabhupada. So you're doing well, thank you. But there's always room for improvement. We're going to raise the bar. There's always room for improvement. Externally and internally. So my humble request is that you take the bliss of this occasion and the occasion tomorrow, Maharaja's Vyasa Puja, and you share that with others throughout the year. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.